press out in the house of the Lord this morning. Just a little bit of snow on the ground. I pray everybody made it all right. Amen. Let's stand and sing that. sing a song. Here I am to worship.
In light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious from heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful.
Sing that second verse again. King of all days.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious from heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for love's sake became poor. Bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely and altogether worthy and altogether wonderful to me.
I'll never know.
And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, and altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful.
One more time.
Oh, and here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Jesus fill. Let Jesus fill. Let Jesus fill my heart. Let Jesus fill. Let Jesus fill. Let Jesus fill. Let Jesus fill. My heart, my heart, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. Oh, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. Your king to me.
Lord, I believe in you. Amen.
And Lord, I believe in you. I always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence. Lord, I believe.
Morning, Father. Amen. We do have, just the announcements for this weekend coming up. Brother Brooks will be in town as of right now, Saturday service and Sunday service as well. But just to let you know, that's to be determined as well, as far as times and schedules, because I guess there's another storm coming in. So just, keep our Brother Brooks in prayer that maybe he can push his way out. Amen. Amen. We do have one prayer request this morning. No testimonies. A prayer request from our brother Caleb. Please pray for my great grandma. She had a stroke last week and she's not doing well. And brother Caleb said his great grandma is 99 years old. So remember her in prayer. Amen. Also remember all who are traveling. Brother Dave, as he's in Pennsylvania, he's got to make it back to work tomorrow. So he said he's going to be coming in Sunday night. So remember our brother Dave in prayer that Lord protect him on his way. Amen. And I'm sure we all have unspoken prayer requests like make known. Find out for a stand. Brother Simon, would you mind leading us in our prayer? Also over time and offense.
Bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love thee, God. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to magnify your name, Lord, today, God, Lord. And Lord, just Lord, we just want to praise you, Lord, and worship you, Lord, just the best we can, God, Lord. It may not be loud or super, Lord, but Lord, it may be from the heart, God, Lord. Jesus, Lord, just, Lord, if there be anything, Lord, in our heart, Lord, it's not right, God. Just help us to, Lord, just repent real fast here, God, Lord. We know you can forgive in an instant, God, Lord, in a twinkling of eye, God, Lord. If you can, Lord, change our vile bodies, God, Lord, surely you can forgive our sins in a twinkling of eye also, God, Lord. Lord, we just want to worship you today, God, Lord. And Lord, just this prayer request, Lord, from our brother there, God, Lord. Help his great-grandma there, God, Lord. Just be with her, God, Lord, if it be her time for the exodus, God, Lord. And Lord, I also have a grandpa, God, Lord. They've given 6 months, Lord. And Lord, just be with each one of these, Lord, as they've lived long lives, God. And Lord, if there be anything, Lord, they could, Lord, if they're to be saved, God, Lord, or whatever, God, Lord, just have your perfect way there, God. And Lord Jesus, just bless this service, God, Lord. And Lord, help us get on the mind frame, God, of the Word of God, and to hold on the Word, God. And Lord, that you would just speak to us once again, God, Lord. And Lord, anoint our pastor, God, Lord, to bring the Word. And God, Lord, may he just step beside, God, and Lord, let you walk right into those shoes, God, Lord, that shoe leather, God. And Lord, that you could speak right through our pastor, God, Lord. Anoint those lips, God, Lord Jesus, Lord. And anoint our ears, God, Lord, for surely, Lord, our pastor gets anointed every time he's up here, God. But, Lord, help us, Lord, out in the congregation, Lord, to get anointed also, God, Lord, that we could enter right in, God, and not get tired or weary, God, Lord. But, Lord, just be on the edge of our seat, God, Lord, just eating every word, God, that's right there, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, God. And, Lord, just have your perfect way, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Everybody, I'm sure everybody noticed the new carpet on the floor. Don't be afraid to run around on it at all, okay? Just let you know. All right, let's sing that song. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, amen. I will enter his courts with praise. You know, our pastor's back there preparing his heart for service, right? And what he preached on Wednesday was that if we had a true knowledge of justification, how much more could we praise him, right? So we should prepare our hearts by giving him everything we have with our worship. Amen? Amen. Sorry for the rebuke. Let's sing a song, I Will Enter His Gates. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made.
I will rejoice, for he has made me. I will enter. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. We bring the sacrifice, and we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of praise. I will enter. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, and what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. For the angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Oh, and what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. For the angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. I will enter, and I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. And I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Amen.
That song, "We're Marching to Zion." Amen. Beautiful, beautiful Zion.
And come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. And we're marching
Awesome, awesome, awesome. My God is awesome. That song just makes you say, oh, he's here.
Amen.
Amen. We have other songs fighting for our theme song now. Just 10,000 reasons. Praise God. But yeah, it's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Good to see all able to press out through all the great snow that we've had. But we have a greater God that can get us through that snow. Amen. So we certainly just want to give glory to God this morning. Amen. And we'd also just like to just say for a moment, we appreciate all those who have been laboring in the house of God. Amen. Even yesterday we had the Delaney family here and Brother Dustin, and they're just pressing through to get things ready. Amen. As you can see, we have carpet. Can we give God a round of applause? Amen. You think it looks a lot better?
Amen.
Praise God. Sure looks great, amen. So we thank God for that, and we thank God for all those who have been in really laying their time out there, amen, and just trying to get things done. So God bless them, amen. And God bless you, bride. You're a blessed people. Look what God's giving you a nice place to worship in, amen. Showing you He loves you. Praise God. And by the grace of God, we're almost home with this, so... That should make certain ones of us really want to get Pentecostal. But there's a work to be done, amen? But yet we're going to get right into the Word this morning if we could. I didn't know if I'd be preaching this morning. I've been waiting on my wife to go into labor, but by the grace of God, it has not yet been God's time. So we're all right with that, and that just means God had a message for the church today that was more important than that baby coming forth at this time. Amen? So I can see God's predestined will, and I believe this will be a blessing to you. I never quite seen this in this aspect, but yet we believe that certainly God will speak to you this morning. I pray that you just be attentive to the Word, just really pull on God. Amen? You heard what was preached on Wednesday. Do you remember that?
Amen?
Amen? Praise God. You say, I sometimes feel so stupid. I was trying to figure out what way to go on Wednesday and had a couple sermons there, didn't know what to preach, and I kind of felt led to go on the path of the one sermon. And then when I read a scripture, it just jumped at me. And if you ain't know anything about a preacher, every once in a while you just have it, it jumps out to you like God says, boom, there it is. And then, anyway, we began preaching on that on Wednesday. And then for some reason, when I got to that, it just, you could feel that the spirit in the church just really changed and it really went up a level. And I got done. I said, Lord, I guess you want me to preach on that the whole time. I believe He was showing me what He wanted the church to hear. Amen. And I believe that was confirmed by the acceptance of the Word that day. Amen. But yet, I just find it awesome that, you know, there's a God who, you know, I might just be a preacher, but yet at the end of the day, He's got you in such a place, He knows exactly what He wants you to hear, and He has a way to get that done, amen? Even if He's got preachers that are a little slow, He'll get them right in line, just give them a little time, and by the grace of God, He'll see us through, amen? So if God is that perfect that He can make sure you get the perfect Word, amen? He can see you to eternity. Amen? Praise God. So I pray you're excited today. Do I need to sing another happy song? Are we doing all right? Praise God. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Numbers 13:30. We started here last time, and I'd like to rehearse this, and I never, like I said, never quite caught this, but I'd like to bring this to your attention this morning, just a few things here, a very simple message, but yet... We'd like to just kind of put the nail into this one and see where God will establish you. Amen. Numbers 13:30, and after that we're going to go to Hebrews 10:23. Amen. It says in Numbers 13:30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Remember, as we said, was it Joshua that stilled the people? It was Caleb that stilled the people. Okay? And he said, let us go up at once and possess it. for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, as this is on top of my head, I'd like to say this very quickly. Do you realize here that when they brought back the evidence that the land was a good land, what did they bring? Does anyone remember? Grapes. And it was such a great cluster that they had to carry it between two of the Israelites, right? Which your brother Branham said that was Joshua and Caleb. But yet, I want you to think of this very quickly here. Think how powerful God is. God just didn't give the substance to Israel to say, hey, look what's in this land. These are giant grapes. But do you realize that God had to provide giant grapes for the giants? God didn't only have to show that for the glory of what He would do for Israel, but God was literally making grapes big enough to feed the adversaries of Israel. Which if we go there today, you don't see that. So it was God ordained everything so perfectly that He left the land in the condition to leave the giants there. God put everything there. And He even took care of the giants. What do you think is a cluster this big? It's a giant cluster. He had to take care of giants. Just so they could be destroyed of Israel. Whew, oh, hallelujah. I feel like I'm taking mountains this morning already. Hebrews 10:23, if you would. Notice this here. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we love You this morning, God. We thank You for bringing us here. And we just ask, God, that, Lord, You'd certainly, Lord, bring the revelation today, God, that would, Lord, move us up to a higher realm with You, God. Oh, God, we're not worthy of anything, God. And certainly, Lord, we just thank God that You've predestined us, God. You've seen us in Your mind, God. You've given us this possession, Lord. And, Lord, I pray You'd allow us to be faithful to it, God. I just ask this morning, Lord, that You'd just move on our behalf, God. Bring Your love for us. Bring, O God, the evidence of this land in our midst, God. And Lord, we just ask this morning, God, if You'd be so gracious, God, turn our hearts more upon Thee, God. Lord, we might serve You better. We might love You more, Lord. We might be put into desperation, God, that we might bring forth what You've promised in this day by Your Word, God. That's what we want, Lord. What the Word promises is what we desire, God, because that's who we are, Lord. It shows what we are, Lord. We just ask this morning, God, that, Lord, if we be tired, Lord, lift us up, God, again, Lord. We're just, Lord, in this day and age, God, you know what the Scripture says, God. You wrote it, Lord, and how they'd think of changing times and laws and so forth, and it would wear out the saints, God. Lord, we don't want to be worn out, God. We want to be strong in the power of Your might, God. We just pray, God, that You would be, Lord, faithful to us, God. And Lord, how we need that, God. We just pray it, Lord. You'd certainly be merciful to us, Lord. We just love You and want to give You our whole hearts today. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. Thank You for being patient in your standing. I will also be patient in my standing. Amen. Now this morning we just want to bring forth a few things, a little thoughts that will, I believe, help you out. And by His grace, we just are so glad that we're almost here. Amen. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go see Jesus. I'm ready to just to get on with this and just ready just to see what all God has for us. Amen. I believe that when these things come around, that we'll be awed by what God does. It won't drive us to a place that we have pride or we're lifted up, but yet, in all honesty, we'll just be humbled because we've found a God that loves us so much. Amen? Now, for a title this morning, if we could get into this, I'd like to give it the title of From Stilled to Inheritance. Amen? And for a topic this morning, I'd like to give it Proving Our Righteousness. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So we ask, Lord, that You just enable Your people, God. We just heard that great sermon about how the people have to be just as anointed as the preacher. Praise God. So how many of you are anointed out there? I got a couple this morning. Praise God. You look like you're pretty happy. You look like you're excited to be in the house of God. You look like you're saying, oh God, I'm going to allow this Holy Ghost to help preach this morning. Amen. Praise God. So we want to move this morning with From Stilled to Inheritance. And we're moving still with Caleb this morning as I want to finish this because I find something that there is so great that it amazes me that it's not preached on more, even by Brother Branham or by any of the ministries that we hear today, but yet it's actually something that's kind of hidden. And we'd like to just put some emphasis on it this morning and drive it home to where God, I believe, where He'd like to take it if He would so be pleased. Amen? But we notice here that literally God sent out the 10 or the 12 spies into Israel when Moses brought the people up to the land, and we realized it was a mixed multitude. There was a lot of unbelievers there, and yet we find that even the 10 spies or the 10 spies that brought forth an evil report, they were what? They certainly were judged by what they brought forth. They said the land wasn't able to be possessed, and they literally laid down on God, the God that done so many mighty things for them. They actually didn't think that God was able to do it for them. Amen? Now, I want us to think here very quickly here because remember, I'll rehearse just a little bit. They sent the 12 spies out in the land for 40 days. And of course, because they brought back an evil report, they had to sit in the wilderness for 40 years, right? But yet God, in turn, He destroyed the ones who went into the land and brought back an evil report for causing unbelief to the people. Amen? And anyone that causes unbelief in the people will what? Will be this type of people. They will not be able to possess the land. Amen? So it just shows you why the church is so small in the righteousness of what it is today is because there is such an evil report upon this land when we should have went up into the Holy Ghost and took in all the boundaries of it and made the land what? To prove to be fruitful for us. We have allowed the land to be desolation, not moving fully into it. Amen? So this morning I want us to maybe look once again that this land is the Holy Ghost. It is the leadership of the Holy Ghost. It is what? It is moving your character into adoption, right? Or pushing yourself to a place that you can rot. Put the name Jesus Christ on the check just like He can. Amen. Praise God. So now, notice as we begin to move with this, Caleb, of course, his name means dog, which is a representation of the Gentile people. And yes, we are the Gentile people in the Gentile dispensation, right? Thank God that He didn't allow the inhabitants, which were our forefathers, to be killed. But yet He left all the seeds in place that we could have a Brother Freddie today. We could have another Caleb here today. We could have a David, a Lee, and all these other individuals here just because of God's foreordination. Praise God. Amen. I believe if we could see our family trees in God's mind, you would be kind of amazed how many times that seed line went through. Could not be killed. Why? Because in 2013, there was a brother Steve Delaney that had to be manifest. But what? It shows how much God loves you. He did all of that to bring you forth. Oh, I pray you're happy. Don't you see how perfect you are? We just say here, look, my mama and daddy. But you don't understand how this is so fixed for your benefit. Hallelujah. Now, I want to get into this morning because you have a very special lesson to be learned through Caleb this morning, because what you're going to find out is basically, in my mind, a promise that is just as great as you see happening to Abraham. And I believe that you'll watch this unfold very carefully before your eyes if you're hungry. But I want you to know this today, that literally you find at the time when they were sent to spy out the land, that what? Caleb literally stilled the people and he said, "We are more than able to possess it. Let us go up now." Look at that faith. Now, here's what I want you to see. Because it was rejected, they were held back from the promise for 40 years before they would once again go into the land. 40 years. Praise God. So now, let's move on with this just a little bit. Now, why did Caleb steal the people? According to the Scripture, we won't read all of it, but we understand according to Numbers 14, 23 and 24, that you literally see that God gave Caleb another spirit with him, right? Which we focused on Wednesday, that God gave it with him, but now God has put it within you. So that means that the same God that could do something conquering on with a man on spirit level could now be what? Baptizing the church in the Holy Ghost. They would be what? They would be more able to stand like this because God was now in them. Would you say today, "I've got God in me"? Then you should look like God's in you. You should walk like God's in you. You should stand like God's in you. How strong we should be. Because look, amongst all that unbelief, Caleb stepped up and he said, "We're more than able. Let's do it." What's the hold up? Now notice he was looking at a land with giants that he had personally seen. And remember what the evil report was fully based on. The evil report was fully based on the fact, he said, that the 10 spies said that the men there are of great stature. So the reason why they didn't go in, was it because it was a land that flowed with milk and honey and there's great blessings in there? But they were thoroughly focused on the giants and the men of great stature in that land. Praise God. So they were just looking at a physical appearance of something. And they what? They fell down and their hearts melted. But not Caleb. Caleb jumped up and said, "What are we waiting on? What are we afraid of? God has given us this land." So what? So now, let's move into this place. But look at now what Caleb believed now. Caleb must have believed in a living God. I can say today, and looking around, you say, "Oh, I believe in a living God." Every hand will go up, "Oh, I believe in a living God." But what is the proof that you believe in a living God? Is the proof that you believe in a living God, is it thoroughly based upon your confession, "I believe"? Or is there a substance that must come forth from that statement? You say, "I believe in a living God," and He doesn't excite you. How living is that God? You say you believe in a living God, and you're not interested in the things of God. How is that God living? You're showing you believe that it's dead. So now, judging that this God is real, it's thoroughly based upon how faithful you have made this God to be. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going somewhere. So, what are you saying about Caleb? He judged the God to be faithful who promised. Faithful. What does the word faithful mean? It means firmly adhering to duty. Said it? He's going to do it. Very simple. Of true fidelity, big word. Loyal, I like that one, that's easy. True to allegiance. It says, constant in the performance of duties or services. It's not once in a while constant in duties. But yet, he's constantly moving, constant. He's always doing. He's always proving. That is a faithful God. It's a God who will prove to you day in and day out that He is God. Lastly, it says exact in attending to commands. It's exact. He ain't going to do it wrong. He's not going to do it late. He's going to do it right on time. And it's going to be done the right way. "Well, he didn't quite do it how I wanted." Well, that's the problem. You're finite. You're mortal. You don't know what God knows. You have been given what? The ability now to rest upon Him. Why? Because He knows and you don't. He knows the right way to do things. That's our problem a lot of times, is that we are doing something, but we're not waiting on the faithful one to execute it. Meaning what? That you judge yourself more faithful than the God who said He was faithful. Remember how I say this. Remember with King Saul. King Saul, God told him to wait before he did what? He did all the, I believe it was the sacrifice and so forth. And he went and did them himself. And God took him off there just because he wouldn't wait. He was supposed to wait for Samuel. He didn't wait. So what? It cost him everything. Just because he would not wait on God, even though it was God that promised. But look at Caleb here. Caleb believed. He proved he believed. And I want you to notice that there is something even greater than the fact that when they went and spied the land out for 40 days, and Caleb stilled the people and said, we are more than able to take it. Let's go up at once. There is something even more perplexing than that. Hit the quiet note. There's something more perplexing than that. Yes, that's where we're going this morning. So now, let's move into this. So now God causes all the rest of the spies to be killed. And in Deuteronomy 1:34, we see now that God is now going to move into a promise. When was God's promise? Right when Moses was taking them up to the land. Take it. It's yours. I've already promised it to you. Take it. Notice here, it says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath fully followed the Lord. So notice, he's now what? He set his heart to seek God. He fully believed in the promise. And now we see God at the time when they're supposed to possess. And now God had to put them in the wilderness. And at that time, God comes and tells Moses and say, that Caleb will possess that land. None of the rest are going to see it except for Caleb. It's his. Wait a minute. Caleb, being 40 years old now, he says, did you just hear what the prophet said about me? The prophet just said, one day, I know they're turning us back into the wilderness. God just turning us back right to the wilderness right now for 40 years. But God said one day that this land, you know, the 40 days I spent out there, we can take it. God just said that I'm going to trod that land under my feet. How long is it going to take, Caleb? When's it going to happen? I don't know. All I know is that God said that the old generation is going to have to pass off. All I know is that God just made a promise to me. So now, I want to get into this very quickly here. We see, in going through this now, I'm not going to move back. There's some other things I would like to get to. But we understand that, according to Schofield, that this was 1490 B.C. Okay? And now God has given the land, as far as is 1490 B.C., when they went up to Kadesh Barnea, spied out the land, they didn't get it. Here it is, 1490 B.C. But yet, now we find that Joshua would take the people, what, back to the land once the old fighters had died off, okay? And how long was that? 40 years. It took 40 years of wandering in the wilderness in order to start to get ready to come back into the land. Praise God. Now, this is kind of where we're locating. If you can't see it, I see you're kind of, hope I ain't losing anybody. It is Sunday morning. And as we say, Jesus was resurrected on Sunday morning. The church should be resurrected every Sunday morning as well. Be made alive. Praise God. Amen. So now, notice this. They come back into the land now, and they move back into the possession, and Caleb is still with the people. Now, who was Caleb? When they sent out the land, they sent the spies out to go spy it out. There was 12 spies, and they were the leaders of each tribe. So 40 years before, when Moses sent them out, Caleb was the leader right there. And now, moving back into the land 40 years later, Caleb is still the leader. Meaning what? He didn't die off. He must have not lost sight of what God told him. Brother Cam, what in the world are you talking about this morning? I hoped you'd ask. If you see what's going on here, you see in Hebrews 11:11, it said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, very quickly, how long did the promise God made Abraham that he would receive seed from Sarah, how long did it take the promise for that to happen? 25 years. Praise God. And God, of course, according to Scriptures, turned him young again, brought forth Isaac, and then we see now what? That God looks back in Hebrews 11 and says what? He says that she believed God. She judged him faithful who promised. She waited 25 years. Oh, milk veins dried up. No source of strength. And what? The whole time Abraham believed. She believed. Remember, the Bible said in Romans 4 that they staggered not at the promise through unbelief. You know, I think a lot of times we have a hard time applying this to ourselves because we can't focus on the message of this hour. The message of this hour tells you, and the problem is most of us don't even understand that. But yet, think of this. The rapture started in 1963. It's been 50 years. The seals were broke. Time shall be no more. The angel come down. God was opening the book to the people. Who put that word there? What was the promise of 1963? The promise of 1963 was what? It was releasing eternity to God's people. That's what it was doing. What was the breaking of the seals? It took all the mysteries and revealed them to the people so that all the people would have to do is believe that word and it would make the rapture happen. Understand what I say when I say the rapture. What I mean when I say the rapture is the coming of Christ to bring the bride up to meet him in the air, to take them away. Which is what? It is the consummation of marriage. we all sit here and say, okay, God, I didn't exist back then. Yeah. That's why it's still going on. But can you literally put this in your mind? That God promised something back there. He said you could take the land. He opened everything up so that you could see the redemption that provided fruit just as clearly as He can. Meaning what? That everything is right here in the palm of your hand. Let me say this. I'm going to come down on your level now. All the redemptive promises that God put forth, He said you could use them back there. They're yours. Boy, we're quiet this morning. Woo! Everybody want to come back in the back and get some coffee first? We got the Keurig back there. I think I got just enough for everybody. You turn the house of God into a coffee shop. Well, coffee, you don't need coffee to wake you up. Just waking up into another day with Christ should raise you up. You know, the problem is a lot of times you say, oh God, another day. I was hoping a rapture would be last night. Oh God, I was hoping last night you'd take me home. But you see, do you realize that Caleb, for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, woke up every day and said, God, where's the promise at? But do you realize that every day he woke up and said, back there, God promised that it was mine.
Amen.
That means I can't die till I see it. That means there's nothing that can stop me. And that even when I get into that land, God said, when I get there, that I'm still got some trotting to do. Oh, church, can't you see it? Redemption is open. We're waiting on one thing. What's that? Christ to make redemption's claim. Redemption's claim is when He comes back and takes those that are His. So you're right between the loosing of the book, opening the full word, and Christ bringing forth redemption's claim. Today, you have to identify with the open book. And of course, Christ getting ready to claim you. God allowed Caleb to see that God put a claim on him. Don't you see it? He seen the Word of God and it was personally revealed to him by the prophet of God that he would be part of redemption's claims. That God had already chose him to go into that land. That God that already promised him that he would have inheritance. Because when the word went from the prophet to Caleb, it said you will possess it and have inheritance. Inheritance wasn't just when you went into the land. Inheritance was when the land was yours.
Amen.
It ain't my pathway this morning, but it's God's. You better pay attention. Because what? He could have made redemption's claims back there. But he's allowed this thing to sit. Because there's some people that need to move into this promised land. I'm going to say this, and I believe this with all my heart. The message has failed. The people of this message have failed to get the people past the open book. You want me to explain? What was the open book? The open book was when the mysteries were revealed to you.
Right.
I know this is algebra. When the open book was broke open, it loosed this whole word to you.
Right.
It didn't just release the word to you. It released the person to you. Because the person could not fully reside in the human heart without the mysteries bringing the people to a perfect revelation. Okay? Meaning what? The open book wasn't just, hey, you gotta preach it deep. But do you realize that the deep was only given to them that could fully possess the land? Because what was the revealing? The revealing wasn't just the knowledge. The revealing was the person. And the person has to produce that word. So what do we say? God released divine healing at Pentecost. Azusa Street. That is part of that inheritance. Which means what? That is the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost releases the gifts to the people. It's open. It's open. It's yours. You can take it today. You say, I believe it. Don't just believe it. Move into it. Because don't you realize that's been released to you? That was released over 100 years ago to you. Just like the revelation of justification, that you're really free. You never did it in the first place. God went to the pawn shop, brought you out. That was revealed hundreds of years ago. But the devil has gotten you so scrupled up that you can't even live by redemption's rights. But notice, Caleb could not fully live by the fruit until the old generation died off. He tasted it. He seen that it was there. But there was a time that God would release that to His people. Showing what? Why are we here today? What's going on? Yep, just another boring sermon by Brother Cam. You see how it goes. But you are literally sitting at Christ's redemptive claims. The redemptive claims that He was going to make and take you was made back there. As far as God released the option to do that. But God couldn't do it. Because there was still seed that had to be redeemed. Which is you. You know, the coming of the Lord, I predict, will come by 1977. It was a good prediction, but Brother Simon had to be born that year. And what? He was an unmanifested attribute of Christ that had to come forth. That had what? Had to put forth redemption's promises to the people. What? Showing that there was a Caleb of the people. If you think that you're going to make a rapture with anything less than what the Scripture says Caleb did, You might as well let that go. So we better have a room full of Calebs. Now, I want to tell you something very quickly. Why could he get excited and get so fervent and get so pressed that he would steal 2 million people? Let me give you a hint. Because of his focus. He was happy because of his focus. Remember, the only thing that we can see of Caleb, as far as we don't have the facts of his consecrated life outside of the fact that the Scripture says he wholly followed the Lord. But we find that wholly followed the Lord is literally based upon his belief that God promised to him that the land was his. So the reason why he amened the word, because the word come from the prophet. The prophet told the people that the land was theirs. And what? They didn't believe it, but Caleb believed it. So he was focused. He was happy. He was strong. Why? Because God said it was his. So now we see that God left Abraham's promise for 25 years. Gonna have a baby. Gonna have a baby. Gonna have a baby. Getting older all the time. I woke up this morning. I just got my hair cut yesterday. And I had my one white hair going out like this. He's telling me something. I'm aging. When I cut my hair yesterday, I did my best because God has given me twins. One white hair here and one white hair here. Last time there's only one here that I saw. Now there's two. But God's showing me that I'm aging. God's showing me that I'm getting older. But getting older is not moving me from the promise. God didn't say how old I'd be at this rapture. He just said, if I believed it, it was mine. So now, if we could, I want to take you on a little scriptural pathway very quickly here, if we could. Now, I want us to understand, so 25 years it was till they brought forth the child, but do you realize that Caleb was in the wilderness 40 years after God promised him? So he was actually 15 more years than what even Abraham and Sarah had to wait. That's what I want you to begin to start seeing. Say, oh, how did Abraham and Sarah do it? How did Caleb do it? Amen. We say, man, 25 years, this is impossible. Caleb went 40. Right. And that was just before they went into the land again. Oh, hallelujah! Amen. But what you begin to see is a bride's promise. See, Caleb or Abraham and Sarah only had to go 25, but Caleb, a type of the bride, now we see it going 40 years, and it's still lingering. The promise is the same. Abraham was given the son for inheritance. The son was a type of the Holy Ghost, or was a type of Christ, right? For this bride. But what? Caleb was given what? The promise of the land and the inheritance of that land. The land was the Holy Ghost. And now he's had to wait 40 Do you realize how we act like the biggest bunch of sissies? We should feel ashamed. Because you know what? Most of us haven't even been here 40 years. Most of us haven't even been serving God for, and I look around this room, for over 12 or 15 years. Is there anyone here that's served God for more than 15 years? Oh, Brother David, you always got to raise your hand. Well, we got a couple saints here. But think about how young in the faith you are. And God, when He revealed that promise of this message to you, you see why we got to get into this message? You see why we just can't say, well, bro, I just got to listen to Brother Cam. You got to get into the message, because the message reveals Isaac to you. So, now we find that according to the scripture, we find Caleb waiting 40 years just to enter into the land. But now this is where it begins to get pretty funny. Because remember, what staggered the people was the giants. They were scared of the giants. They were terrified. And because of that, we find Caleb taking something very precious to himself. Because remember, God gave him a promise. Now this is how I want to get into this. Some of you may or may not know what God gave to Caleb. You'll find out very quickly here. In Joshua 11, verse 21. Joshua 11:21, it says, "And at that time came Joshua." Now this is the conquest of Joshua we're finding here, which says all the places that he destroyed, all the places that he took over, okay? Now notice this, in Joshua 11:21, it says, "And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains." So Joshua cut off the Anakims from the mountains. But notice, it doesn't say that he killed them. It says he cut them off. Okay? From Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judea, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. And there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, Ashdod, there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Okay? So what do we see here? We see that God, what? He allowed Joshua with the young people to destroy everything in the path. But in doing so, they cut off and destroyed all the inhabitants. But it says that they cut off the Anakims from the land. So, I want you to catch this in your mind. That literally, we see the 12 spies going to them. And we find the 10 report was that these Anakims are too strong for us. But God anoints Joshua. Joshua goes in the land, and Joshua just drives them right out of the land. He couldn't even destroy the giants because the giants were too busy running. Isn't that amazing? So once Joshua took the people to that land, the giants, they were so scared by a bunch of little grasshoppers. Can I say that right? That literally, they went to fleeing. And the people that stayed were utterly destroyed. Now, so, brother, where's this going? We're coming around. We're making the bend right now. Stay with me. So, we find that here they are in Joshua 11 and goes through his conquest and so forth. But this is what I want you to see. In Joshua 13:1, it says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth very much land to be possessed. He drove them all out, but those who didn't run were destroyed. But now God was telling Joshua, it's time to give the people possession. It's time to give them inheritance so there's something they can do. Okay? So what? The torch is getting ready to pass from Joshua to the people. So he gives out possession. And this is where we want to pick up in Joshua 14. We understand that now Joshua is beginning to give possession to Judah. And we find a character named Caleb still there. Remember, as we went in previous sermons, you can see that Joshua was at Gilgal. And you can find now that Judah comes up and is wanting inheritance. And they're still following the same one. Now, we can't know precisely, but we find out that when they were asking, when Caleb comes up to Joshua to ask for inheritance, we understand according to doctors and theologians and so forth, they say that was 10 to 12 years past the second time that they come into the land. So it was right around 50 years after they were given the chance to go into the land. 50, 52 years, somewhere in that area. Oh, I ain't lost you that much, have I? 63 to 2013, 50 years. Oh, hallelujah. Just been fighting in the land. Some of us have been fighting for about 10 or 12 years. Fighting is right. Now I've watched Joshua overcome a lot of things, but I'm ready for my inheritance. Now notice here in Joshua 14:6, I guess it's a little bit more of a teaching how we're responding this morning. That's all right. It says, then the children of Judah came up to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb! Here he is. Then all this fighting. He's coming up and saying, okay, it's time for inheritance. God gave him a promise between 50 and 52 years ago. And here he is. Coming up to Joshua now. He's saying, I want the inheritance. Hallelujah! He believed it for 50 years. That the God that made the promise, he was able to fulfill it. But wait a minute. In Joshua 13, it said there's still very many lands to be possessed. And in if you read that later, the first several verses start going on to talk about that area. But remember, we already read that Hebron was conquered. But we also know that that was just in the spree that they were doing. The whole army was going from here to here to here to here to here. And now it's come back to Gilgal. The first experience. And now we're finding that, look, it's time for possession. Now notice here, it says in the sixth verse, Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me. Concerning me and thee in Kadesh and Barnea. 50 years before he comes to Joshua, Joshua's walking like this. Remember the scripture said he's old and well stricken in years? Joshua's walking like this. Oh, Lord. And Caleb comes up. And he says, I remember what God spoke through the prophets. There was something that God said through him that concerned me. The promise was made back there. But when it come time for the claim, it was right here. Don't you love it how he said that? He said it was concerning me and Joshua. The promise wasn't just for him, but the Holy Ghost that he was carrying. Now notice this. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. How did he wholly follow him? I've already told you that. He wholly followed him by saying, the land's ours. We're going to take it. There's a lot of fruit in this land. I want to be a partaker of that fruit. It's a hard land. It's a difficult land. But my God said it was my possession. That land is mine. So notice this. What a memory this guy has. This is amazing. Ninth verse, he says, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. He remembers it just as good as it was promised to him. He says, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. My God said I was faithful back there. That promise was based on the righteousness he's seen in me there. And I'm carrying the same righteousness I had back there. What does it mean? Where was the righteousness given? How come he can say that I wholly follow the Lord here? Now it's mine now. Because the existence of his faithfulness to God was proved by him fully going into what God gave him. Meaning what? God said he was faithful there because he wanted to take the land. He looked at his life then again. 40 years is up. Here I am going back in the land. He started fighting all these battles with Joshua. He fought one, said, yep, I'm in the land now. He fought another. He said, oh, hallelujah. See? I'm in the land. He promised it. I'm still here. I'm actually proving that I've wholly followed the Lord. God has seen my righteousness because the righteousness was based off going into the land, and I'm still moving in through that land. So I'm proving righteousness by showing what I'm doing. What? Holy following the Lord. The righteousness of that is based on entering into that land. For 40 years it was proved by him believing it. And then when that 40 years is up and it was time to go into the land again, he proved it that he had the same self by walking right into that land. He said, hallelujah, send that ark right in the middle of that water. Go ahead and split it. I'm on my way. Whether the ark goes through or I got to swim across, that land is mine. So now notice here, 10th verse, Joshua 14:10. It says, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. How old is he right now? 85 years old. He said, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 11th verse. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Years in his confession. Now let me ask you, could Caleb see that he was older? What do you think? Is there a difference between a 40-year-old man and an 85-year-old man? A lot of difference in there. And here Caleb is, he says, I'm just as strong today as when God sent me to spy out the land. Oh, oh Lord. It says, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. See, that old man, Caleb, he was just staying back in the camp. He said, I can still fight just as strong now as I fought then. Uh-oh, half of you are looking at me like that now. Half of you are smiling. The other half are like I'm torturing you. I'm torturing you with a promise. It's your promise. Don't miss it. Don't look by it. Apply this to yourself. I accepted the word 40 years ago. No, most of us weren't alive then. Say, I'm just as strong 10 years ago when the Holy Ghost revealed this message to me. I'm just as strong today as I was then. Hallelujah! I can do it! What are you showing? The whole perspective that you're basing your attitude on is the promise. So now notice in Joshua 14:12, I got one more passage by His grace after this. It says, now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. So God told him that everywhere where his feet was going to go, he was going to trot it. And now, Caleb, he references that promise to being made to a mountain. Hallelujah. But notice he doesn't just stop there. He says, "For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there." So now he's equating what? The mountain to the giants. Because remember, in Joshua's day, they were driven out. But they weren't destroyed. Meaning what? In Joshua's day, what? The giants were put out of the land. But since then, the giants actually reestablished themselves in the land. They were driven out of the land. But once the conquest moved on, the giants went back into the land. Remember, there's some years in this conquering. Caleb doesn't say, "I'm too old to fight giants." He says, "I want the giants." You call yourself the bride. You better say, "Where's my giants?" You see what we say? We say, "God, don't let me fight too many hard battles." Or you look at the battles that you got and say, "Boy, these are really, really hard." But do you realize that Caleb's hardest battles did not come until after he was given inheritance? Oh, we're moving into it. So what? All the things that he was fighting in this Laodicea, I'm talking about you now, was literally something small compared to the deliverance that God would show in that day. Why do you think?
more time, Lord, I believe. And Lord, I believe in you. And I'll always believe in you. Though I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, wonderful Savior. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your perfect. And you gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, give all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling and set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Oh, and take me, mold me, use me, fill me, and I give my life to the potter's hand, and call me, and guide me. Gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. And I'm captured by your holy calling and set me apart. Oh, I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me and take me and mold. And use me, Lord, fill me, and I give my life to the potter's hand, and call me. Lord Jesus. Let's give him a round of applause. Amen. Just all we're encouraged by the word this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Be It Unto Me According to Thy Word. Amen. As we're dismissed, let's sing that song, Be It Unto Me.